Welcome, everybody. Filibuster Freestyle, 2024, St. Patrick's Day. It is March 17th. A happy St. Patrick's Day to you and yours. Or hope you had a happy one, because you're going to probably hear this starting on the 18th. Anyway, the sports jerks are back. Andrew Patterson and Jeremy Johnson from Man Cook Good. And we've got a very special episode today. We're going to, at the end, get into how some hot takes on how bad the Patriots Apple TV Dynasty documentary is. Not the first one to say it's bad, but maybe some fresh takes on why. Secondarily, but to start the show, Jeremy Johnson has been in the midst of a member of his family has been victimized by scammers, but Jeremy Johnson is basically doing a crypto Liam Neeson rebuttal on these people, or he's done that, and he's now going to tell us about it and also give us some tips on how to maybe spot and avoid these types of scams. So here comes the theme song. Before we do that, follow my friends on Instagram at Pop Sketch Designs, or go to their Etsy store, etsy.com/shop/popsketchdesigns. Get yourself some gear for the spring, some new t-shirts, some new hoodies, new hats. That was hoodies, by the way, not hoodies. And we'll go from there. But here comes the theme song, Sports Jerks on the other side.
Filibuster freestyle.
All right, theme songs in the books. And before I bring in the sports jerks, just really quickly, Charlotte, the producer, in the studio, and the show Bluey will likely be in the background. And if you're a parent, you understand exactly what I'm talking about here. And if you're not, well, when you're a parent, you'll understand. But excuse any peripheral noise. Thank you. All right, everybody. As promised, the sports jerks have joined us. Andrew Patterson from down the street, currently walking on the street. Is that correct, Andrew?
It is correct, and also trying hard with my facial expressions to make this look like I'm just on a normal business call and not a guest on a podcast.
That's fair. You may be the first Filibuster Freestyle member to be walking down the street on a phone call that's actually going to be broadcast throughout the world to those who choose to listen. Jeremy Johnson is in the sound booth, but it is sounds like it's not a Subaru anymore. It's the Ford Maverick sound booth. New sponsor alert. Jeremy, how are you, and how is the new sound booth?
The 2023 truck of the year? Yeah, it's fantastic.
Have you driven a Ford lately?
Ford Maverick is like it's like a compact pickup truck. Mine is a hybrid. I'm getting 40 to 45 miles per gallon on it. And I love it. I love the upgrade. I use it all the time.
That is a sweet, sweet mileage right there. No arguments from that. And you can get that in a hybrid pickup truck. You got to love it. Jeremy, you're a very specific man with a very specific set of skills, like finding hybrid pickup trucks. But it sounds like some foreign military or entity that may or may not have military ties, I'll let you decide if you want to name the nation state or not that you think might be responsible, decided to hack your mother-in-law, and you somehow have been able to Liam Neeson them a little bit. And I think for anybody who listens to this show, not only is it probably an entertaining story, but you might learn a few things in case you or any of your elder folks or others get scammed. And I mean the royal you. So, JJ, can you tell us what's been going on with these scammers who may or may not be part of the special forces of the great nation of Pakistan?
Yeah. So, as you know, we moved my mother-in-law into an apartment downstairs from us in the fall. She's approaching 80. She's got some cognitive decline, and she needs more support. And we were fortunate enough to have an opportunity pop up where we could get her closer. And as part of that, you know, her physical life was pretty disorganized and unsustainable, but her digital life is even worse, and her banking and all of that. So as part of that, I was trying to take more and more more access than control, but get more and more access to her digital stuff. And she had an email account that was probably 25 years old and was signed up for every single mailing list in the world, and at last count had over 400,000 unread messages. Oof. So I thought, we should set you up with a new one. You can't even keep up with it because it's getting hundreds of emails a day. And if you do get a legitimate one, you can't even find it. So I set up an email account for her on Google, and I like a little squirrel kept the password saved to my device, so I could go and check the email and kind of help her keep up with it, because she goes out there and immediately starts signing up for mailing lists and subscriptions and stuff that I'm not even sure if she knows what that means. But and one day I see an email from Western Union saying, please verify this email address to finish setting up your account. And I'm like, you know,
sounds fishy.
That's weird. Why is she signing up for a Western Union account? So I text her and I say, hey, did you sign up for Western Union today? And she says, yes. And I was like, okay. I mean, that's fishy too, but, you know, like my antenna's still up, but not quite as much as if she said, no, what are you talking about? So then, like, another day goes by and I get another email in her thing, but I find now, because my antenna's up, so I find it in her recently deleted emails, like a activation email from an app called Remitly, which allows you to send remittance payments overseas easier.
Not ideal.
And now I'm like, ooh. All right, we got ourselves a situation here. And I go over her place after work, and she won't let me in the door. She's like, I'm busy. I'm on the phone. I'm busy. I can't talk right now. Well, she was on the phone with them. So basically, the next day, I fabricated a completely unrelated reason. Because at this point, she was still very much a hostile witness. She thought that she didn't want to admit what had happened, and she didn't really know what had happened. And she thought that she could fix it by continuing to talk to these people, because they spin you up in knots. And so I go into her place, and I immediately sign into her two different email accounts on my computer, because I don't have a computer at work. And I see, you can see like attempted sign-ins, and I see there's active sessions in Pakistan on, you know, on a device. And I'm like, well, obviously that's not us. And by the way, AOL Mail, obviously, wow, people still use AOL Mail, and obviously they would be garbage. But when I go to the security and privacy settings for AOL Mail for her 400,000 email account, they say, we just did your security checkup and everything looks fine. And by the way, she was paying like $12 a fucking month to, sorry, Charlotte, $12 a month for like security enhancement protocols, you know? So like, this is what we're dealing with. Just being scammed legally, being scammed illegally, whatever. So now I go into full alert. And my mother-in-law is like, she's a hostile witness, so she's trying to take her phone from me. And she's like, I don't understand why everyone's making such a big deal. People are saying they can't reach me. And I'm like, I file that away. But at this point, like, the house is on fire. You got to triage the situation. So I got one call into her bank. And I'm on the computer changing passwords everywhere that I can, but like she can't even tell me where she has accounts or what accounts they are. So like I start with the emails, and you know, and then the other phone, I've got her verifying her identity with her credit card company, and we're doing that, you know. And that just takes quite a while, you know, it just being on hold and just going through the process of setting up two-factor authentication, putting my phone on everything and my email and my phone numbers so that if somebody tries to change account details, I'm the one that gets notified instead of her. Because I didn't know that they had her device yet.
Right.
Oof. But I knew something was wrong, you know, something was very wrong. And at that point, I did think I was dealing with hackers. But it turns out over time, I realized what we're dealing with are scammers, which are different. They were using commercially available products and like a spear phishing scam to get elderly people, well, anybody that's willing, but from what I found out later, everybody that I saw was born in the 1940s. So clearly they have a type that is more likely to go for it. So I spent like 5 hours on it. My blood sugar is rock bottom and I'm exhausted because I worked all day, and I go upstairs and I bring her upstairs to provide dinner for the family. And, my wife, my beautiful, stunning wife, Chloe, says, hey, Chrissy was trying to call you earlier, and she said that some Pakistani guy answered the phone. And then I'm like, oh, my God. But now they've got her device. And I was thinking, like, this is super sophisticated. Like, you know, maybe it was a SIM swap or virtual SIM swap. Or I was giving these guys a lot of credit. So then I, you know, I just am like, you're handling dinner. I can't deal with this. And I get back on the computer with her phone, with my phone. And I go in and I figure out, like, I should check her app store. And I see on her app store, she's downloaded, like, a VPN app, these, like, text-bouncing apps, and something called AnyDesk.
Ah, that's what the people at work use, the IT people.
Yeah. Highly recommend never using AnyDesk with someone that you haven't verified very specific identity with.
Sure.
Because once you do AnyDesk, you give someone complete control of your device. And once somebody has complete control of your device, it really doesn't take many passwords to take over your life.
Yeah.
Just the way that people deal with digital security. And now, for instance, that text that I sent to her asking her if she was using Western Union, they replied.
Yeah, right.
And so I'm thinking they've done a SIM swap. I'm telling her and everybody, like, look, if somebody needs to call you, they need to just FaceTime audio, voice over IP only, iMessage is working, you know, and in the meantime, like, we got to get them out of your life. So I delete all those apps, I sign out, I revoke the subscriptions that they bought, and then I see that they've stolen money from her using the Apple Cash feature. And paid for these apps subscriptions on the Apple Cash feature. These apps are dodgy. Yeah. AnyDesk is a legitimate product, but these things like, you know, text to text, call to call, these are apps that are like designed by scammers for scammers. There's no consumer.
There's no value. Consumer. There's no value in doing it yourself, right?
Right. Like, you can't like text them or email them and be like, hey, you got shut down my account. Like, this is somebody scammer. Like, there's no way to contact anyone. You know?
Yeah.
They just take your money, and it's just legitimate enough for Apple to approve for the App Store. So the next day, you know, the chase is on by this point. I'm changing email address passwords, and I'm changing her, like, I'm calling and freezing her accounts because I figure, like, it's just faster to call or freeze accounts rather than find. Like, I don't know how many credit cards she has. She's at 2 banks, 5 accounts. It's a mess. Like, and I'm dealing with somebody who can't remember many specific details, especially under duress.
Yeah, sure.
Know? And so, like, I didn't even realize at the moment, but, like, the first thing I should have done is changed her Apple ID password. Because what that does is it locks out any device that's using her Apple ID anywhere.
Right.
Because what I learned later is they had, like, a slave phone or device set up somewhere in Pakistan that they were using as her phone. And you could do this for yourself. You could set your Apple ID up on your iPad, and you can use all your same FaceTime stuff, all your own same photos, all your own messages. Everything could be set up exactly the same, except it's a device that could go anywhere. And you would just be able to access it through Wi-Fi, or if you had a self-connected device, you could do it that way too.
So step one is disable an Apple ID.
Step one, disable Apple ID and disable any and change any passwords through Apple ID and change any passwords on emails. And change them like twice. And also go into your security settings and disconnect all active sessions.
Yeah.
Because if they were more concerned with being caught, which part of the reason why I was able to stop them is because I think they count on these people becoming very isolated and frantic very quickly.
Yeah.
Because nobody can reach them.
Right.
Yeah.
And the only people that can reach them is them.
Right.
Now, maybe this is a silly question, but they would have had power to switch her password on their devices. Why did they not lock her out? Do they need her still having access for the scam to work?
Well, yeah, they still want to be able to contact her because on one hand, I can't even get a straight answer on exactly what the first point of contact was, but I believe it was like a tech support fraud alert thing.
Yep.
Where they called her to say, like, we're picking up that you've got a problem with your device. This is Apple, whatever. And then what happens is once they get access to her accounts, then another person calls them from a number that, by the way, they went into her address book and put in their number.
Yeah.
And labeled it Fraud Protection Services. So then her phone rings from an in her address book. It says Fraud Protection Services. And they say, Miss Kate, we have fraud on your Bank of America card 6264, your Chase account 8371. We're detecting fraud here and there. You're in a lot of danger. These people have got you. We're here to help you. So they're working on both ends.
Yeah.
And yes, they could have changed passwords and locked her out. But when you have that physical device in your hand for an Apple ID, for instance, you can change the password without knowing your old password.
Okay, yeah.
You can just change your password. And then they changed her passwords for her email address stuff. But because I had access to the Google one already, I was able to sign that session out and report it. And then start bouncing all the stuff to that email address as like a safe two-factor authentication forget password link.
Yep.
And I still had access to the AOL one. So, and, you know, in the beginning, months ago, when I started setting this up, she's like, let's just delete the AOL one. And I'm like, no, you can't do that, because if you have any accounts out there that you ever have to recover, you need the email. You need access to the email that you signed up for it with. And oh my God, was that right when this came down for this? Because I started going all over the internet, just typing her email address in and saying forget password or forgot password.
Yeah.
And then they send her a password recovery link, which the bad guys can't access anymore because I've got the account secured. I've changed the password twice, and it's now like one of those like manufactured passwords with like 16 digits and all these special accounts.
Yeah, right.
And it's all happening off of her device, by the way. I've got it all happening on my computer, which is completely separate from it.
Right.
And on my phone. So I started finding her, like, and now I'm checking deleted emails, recently deleted emails, because, like, now I'm really curious, like, what were these guys? I think they smelled a little bit of, like, a danger when I texted her and said, did you sign for Western Union?
Right.
So they were, like, deleting emails. So I was finding these, like, accounts for, like, PayPal transfers and... So now I'm on PayPal. I'm stopping transfers in their tracks. I cancel transfers. I go on Western Union. There's like a $390 transfer in progress. I canceled that. Contacting all these companies, which, by the way, your legacy banks, in terms of your legacy banks reporting fraud, Bank of America is absolute garbage. I can never recommend a product less, okay? She has to, in order to, first of all, she still hasn't gotten her money out of the bank there, okay? We call to freeze the account, and they give us the runaround on that, and then they freeze the account, and then they say, we can't report the fraud yet because it's too late in the day for that. So later in the week, we go to the branch. We can't even talk to someone at the branch because we haven't made an appointment, okay? So we're standing at the glass counter, but they've only got one teller on. So there's like 63 people lining up behind her. Yeah. She's like trying to explain it, and I'm trying to explain it, and their manager's coming over, and they won't flag any of this stuff. They say you have to call the fraud protection hotline or whatever. And so then that took like hours, whereas with Chase, with her other account, they walked in there and they flagged all these transactions in person with the banker, just walked right in and sat down with someone. And like, everything was so much easier.
And they had sitting on hold
for 45 minutes. And you're dealing with a person. Because at this point, I reached a point where I'm like, I don't even know if I'm talking to the banks that I'm calling.
Right, are you talking to these guys in Pakistan? Right.
Because half of these call centers are overseas.
Correct.
And I had this moment when I was talking to Discover Card where I'm like, oh my God, am I talking to the guy?
Wow.
He just gave all this information. So, anyways, I find this, like, Microsoft recovery, you know, password thing in the deleted emails, and I'm like, I don't get it. Why Microsoft? So I go and, like, sign into a Microsoft account, recover the password, and I'm looking through her Microsoft account, and I see that she licensed a copy of Microsoft Office in 2016.
Mm.
And I'm just like, I don't get it. Like, I don't get it. Why? Why a Microsoft account? And, you know, the next morning I wake up at like 4:30 in the morning, and I'm laying in bed, as I often do, and suddenly I'm like, Microsoft owns Skype.
Ah.
Okay.
So I go and sign into the Skype account using her new login and password that we just recovered.
Yep.
And boom. They were using that Skype account as like a call center and tech center to run their scams on other people.
Huh. Oh, wow.
They had sent dozens and dozens and hundreds of calls and text messages using that Skype account that was paid for with her money, and they were also calling her from that Skype account with a number that was set up like a ghost number that looked like it was coming from the United States, like an 8-1-8-8-100 number. And, you know, I'm looking, like, I'm Googling some of these numbers, and, like, it's like a credit union in Florida. So, like, I go and try and sign her into that credit union in Florida. And then I'm like, oh, my God, if they have all her information, they could be setting up accounts everywhere in her name. Really? So, like, step two, go sign into all three credit agencies and freeze their credit.
Mm-hmm.
Because if somebody has your social, they can just sign up for loans and credit cards, right, whatever, and just empty them out. And then everyone's looking at you like, well, where's the money?
Mm-hmm.
So that's even worse than getting your money stolen, because that's money that takes, you know, 100 years to pay back.
Right.
Yeah.
Thankfully, they hadn't made it that far yet.
She's good news.
So now, like, you know, I'm starting to feel like we've got a hold of it. And then I see this, like, there's this, like, crypto company. There's another remittance app. And I'm going through and I'm changing the passwords on all of them. And meanwhile, like, I'm getting, like, forgot password emails that I didn't generate. They were clearly trying to change the passwords back.
Yeah.
Even after you had done these steps.
Yes. So, like, they were probably freaking out. They didn't know how much I had. So they were, like, going back and just immediately trying to, like, change password back. But I had the dead end. They couldn't get into the email address, which is when I changed the password again.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I don't know what the hell's going on. So I just keep changing passwords, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, so at this point, they've stolen through Zelle and different transfers probably about $4,000.
Yikes.
Yeah.
It started with $10 transfers, worked its way up to like $90. They bought like some electronics, you know, overseas and had shipped. But like, we've stopped everything we could and we filed fraud charges on everything we could. And then I start to think like, okay, like, I think we're almost through this. We just got to ride out this thing with Bank of America. And then, you know, we set up a brand new accounts with Chase, with a different bank from where most of the fraud occurred. And I got on the accounts so that I can access, view, and call if anything were to come up. Like, I've got alerts set up where if anything happens more than like a dollar, my phone, watch lights up like a Christmas tree.
Yeah, you're big brother now. Yeah.
Well, now I'm like Big Joe, the security guard on the internet, where anything happens and I can just step in and just change it without anybody, without having to sit down with my mother-in-law for an hour and a half and get her to verify her info with some guy on the phone.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think it's almost over by this point. And we've got her up for dinner again. And she's like, hey, look at this. I found this weird stuff, these photos on my phone.
Oh, geez.
And so I look, and I realize, like, what would you do if you had somebody's device and you were saving all their passwords and you were using their device to scam other people? How would you transfer that information to yourself? What's the easiest way? Like, email, texting it to yourself, writing information down, or would you just do a screen capture?
Right.
So they were, like, screen capping, and they're running, like, you know, screen capture videos of all this data on her device because it's populating their device in Pakistan, right?
Right.
Right.
So now I'm starting to see, like, how much information they have of her. Now I'm seeing files on people. I have files on people all over the country, born in the 40s.
So that they were using on her Skype and stuff, right?
Okay. Yes, name, wow. Date of birth, address, banks, last four social, last four checking account. Like, I've got files on people.
Yeah.
Lots of people. I've got all her passwords, watching them go through all her accounts. It's so violating. It's like the panty drawer, you know, like, and there's pictures of them. There's like screen captures of like, of Skype calls that they were making. There's messages of theirs, like in their WhatsApp back and forth with each other. And then there's like restaurant receipts and like, you know, whatever their equivalent of DoorDash is, like clearly like send back and forth like information to each other. Yeah. And so I see one of these restaurants and I just Google the, I Google the restaurant. It's in Pakistan and it's two blocks away from right there on Google Maps. It's two blocks away from a Pakistani Army Special Forces training center.
What I find funny is that the Pakistani Army Training Center is on Google Maps, but that's okay.
Right.
Yeah. Like, it's not like a secret base, apparently.
Yeah. It's but like yeah. next It's like next to Wendy's. Yeah, no problem. Got it.
Right, exactly.
To the strip mall.
Wow, hiding in plain sight. Wow. So, yeah. So these.
It's pretty obvious that that's probably where this is generating from, whether it's an officially state sponsored action. Or if it's just a bunch of, like, soldiers who are, like, trying to make some extra money.
Yeah.
More likely than not, yeah.
This is who we're dealing with.
Yeah.
Right.
And meanwhile, I'm getting these really high-quality phishing emails from them claiming to be the different banks and different accounts, like, fraud protection services. Like, really high-quality ones that, like, usually they're crap. They're misspelled. They're, like...
Yeah.
You know, there's typos.
Yeah, these guys are good.
These were like all the way down to like the proper headshot of the, you know, the vice president in charge of consumer outreach in the email. Wow. And it would be like, you know, fraud, consumer fraud protection at bankofamerica.eal alert.com. You know, like pretty good email threads too.
Yeah.
So that's all died down. Like, I think they just, like, were like, all right, this is a dead end now, and they've, like, moved on at this
point. Right, cut their losses.
But everything that I did and everything that they did is completely accessible to anyone.
Right. It's all consumer product, yeah.
So, like, even though, like, I feel like I should have, like, a black hooded sweatshirt and, like, 90s techno on while I'm, like, hacking through their mainframe. I'm really just clicking forgot password and recovering accounts. And then you just got to find the chain. Like, where does the chain end? And start there. Start at the beginning. Like, what is the two-factor authentication? And then, first of all, set up two-factor and have it go to a different device. But all I had to do in the first place, because they had her phone for another couple days or another day after I got her phone back because I didn't know about the AnyDesk thing.
Right.
Like, I didn't know.
Because why would you check for it?
Right.
Yeah, like, I checked the apps, and, like, that's when I started seeing all these. But I was most thrown off by the text apps and the call forwarding apps. Oh, by the way, the call forwarding... I think it's super nefarious, and they're like hackers and a SIM swap and a virtual SIM swap and a this and a that. All you have to do, guys, if you gave me your phone for 30 seconds, I could go into settings, I could toggle the switch that says call forwarding, I can enter my phone number, I could hand you your phone back, I could walk away, and everybody that calls you, it would ring on my phone until you changed it back.
Yeah, right.
It takes 30 seconds.
Right.
Maybe it really less, but 30 seconds if you're like, wait, where is that again?
Right. So good to know is that so, like, you can fight back, but bad to know is how easy it is to get scammed or to get set up.
If somebody's like, my phone is like not ringing, people are calling me, I don't get it. Like, start with the easy targets first. Like, if people are that skilled that they are like, you know, hacking people's iOS accounts in other countries without access to the physical device. Why would they choose this target? Why wouldn't they choose like a bigger fish? You know, like a big lesson here is like, don't outthink yourself. I gave them too much credit in the first place, and it slowed me down on my response because I was scared about how to deal with this stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, it was just as simple as going in, instead of like trying to ride out some like app that I thought that was subscribed to that I can't change the settings on, it was just as simple as toggling a virtual switch in her own settings. Google's your friend too. If something is weird and you're like, how can someone make my phone ring somewhere else? Boom. You know, like,
that's good advice. That's it.
What's a fraud protection tech support scam look like? Like, but so yeah, man.
So that was that. Wow.
I'm like, how many hours? 60 hours into that.
60 hours. Wow.
At this point, and not done either, by the way. Because it's involved going to physical banks,
right?
Setting up new accounts, and every time you set up a new account or change a password, or even worse, have to call and talk to a human, that takes a lot of time.
Oh, absolutely.
And the fact that, like, I'm dealing with, you know, and like, chances are, if this happens to someone that you know, they're not going to have full understanding of the devices and the technology that they're using. So when you start asking them very specific, detailed questions about what they have, where they have it, what their stuff is, they aren't going to be able to answer you, and they'll probably get agitated and start thinking that you're, like, you know, trying to get too much in their business, trying to control them.
Yep. Right.
And then there's the shame of, like, knowing, like, I got scammed, I can fix this.
Right.
You know, that they had access to her for like 10 days before I got involved.
Yeah. And how long do they usually run a scam? I mean, do they just keep going until they bleed her dry? Or do they
bleed her dry. And then suddenly, you know, a month would go by and she'd get another pension deposit in her checking account, and that would be gone too.
Right.
Because she's not like, she's not wealthy, so it's not like there's a Merrill Lynch account they can drain.
Right.
I talked to a security guy with a crypto company called Binance because a friend of mine, Clark Graduate, he works in security for them, and they had an account set up in her name on Binance. And once I saw their name, I called him, and he's on their end, on the back end, and he's like, oh, wow, you know, look at the VPN. The first they're here, they're there. Shrewsbury Mass made appearance in the VPN list, which I thought was odd.
Okay.
But because I think Shrewsbury's got like a municipal internet service, which I wonder if that makes it like a desirable VPN bounce.
Maybe. Wow.
I was talking to his boss, and his boss is like, normally at this point, people have lost everything. He's like, some people even get like, you know, mortgages taken out of their name. Like, he's like, this thing could go as deep. It could go as deep as it happens until somebody's able to stop it. And a lot of times the mark doesn't have, they don't know how to stop it. They don't know where to find out what's going on to them. And it just keeps going until they're bled dry.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's wild.
And it's all probably from a WhatsApp message. I'm sure you all get the WhatsApp messages.
Yeah, like, the hello, hey, how are you?
For lunch?
Yeah, I missed you. Is this your new number? Yeah, all that crap. Yeah. So.
Oh, Robert, how have you been? I missed you. Look, I lost all this weight. You know, like, there's so many different ways to get your attention through text and WhatsApp and email.
Yeah.
And there's, I mean, I don't know if you've read about, like, the pig butchering scam that's going on.
No.
They basically abduct people in Southeast Asia. They tell them they've got a great job for them in another country. They come to that other country, and they put them in these, like, scam farms where people are just on WhatsApp all day trying to get people to, you know, like, love farms. They fatten them up. They get compliments. The pig butchering is the fattening up the target.
Got it.
They keep talking to you. They develop a relationship with you.
Yep.
They tell them about how their kids can't go to school and they just need a few dollars.
Yep.
It starts with like $20 and then it works its way up.
Yeah.
And these people are like, it's human trafficking. They're like slaves. They're stuck in these places in the Philippines.
Right, doing this work. Right.
And but they like were, they were, they're basically, they're slaves. They were lied to and they were stolen.
And they're stuck,
their own
country. Yeah.
Right.
So and on one hand, like, at least these are professionals, more than likely, you know. There's some pictures of them out having fun with women, so.
Okay, well, good for them. I guess you're, maybe, does it help knowing your mother-in-law's money, maybe?
Maybe help them out with that.
Yeah,
have a good time. Yeah,
you
know, probably just
one night
fun, like, you know, the Taliban or something. But
Either way, hell of a story, JJ. Thanks for sharing. Hopefully, people can avert a full scam. You know, by knowing some things.
If anybody ever gets like roped into anything like this, or their relative does or something, and they want to contact me, find me on Instagram, send me a DM, and I will, I'll spit out some, you know, some quick rapid fire directions.
Yep.
And that can at least stop the bleeding.
Yep. At Man Cook Good, everybody. So Instagram's popping, and so is the advice on not getting scammed or stopping it midstream. Speaking of stopping midstream, I'll stop that topic. And just before my wife gets home from yoga and is like, why is our daughter still awake? Which is imminent. This Patriots documentary that no one's watching, it's a real hit job on, like, the greatest coach of all time. And I just think the Patriots ownership is like, oh, wow, the Red Sox, everybody hates their ownership. And they won four championships. We won six. Let's see if they can hate us more. That seems to be what's going on here. This is like if Jerry Krause did The Last Dance instead of Michael Jordan. It's wild. Wild stuff. Andrew, you had a thought on like the three things about it, kind of like, you know, not ruining your experience, et cetera, et cetera. Why don't you hit us with that while I at least turn the TV off and pull my daughter out of the clearly dad hasn't been watching me area.
Yeah, no, and hopefully Cindy doesn't listen to this episode, I guess.
Oh, if she gets this far in, I'm surprised.
Okay.
Because she listens to about one out of every 25 of them.
All right, perfect.
Are you gone?
Am I?
Nope. There you go.
Stroke?
Yeah. No. You know what? It's my old. I have to switch from the AirPods. My old crappy AirPods that I refuse to switch out.
Yeah. No. So you just waited like.
I think you just left.
You waited 45 minutes to talk. And you're gone. Hey, Jeremy, I'm just going to try to not get divorced and call that an episode. I think that's probably the right thing to do.
Why don't we wall off the sports jerks for another episode?
Absolutely. We'll be back in 2 weeks or less because we're going to start doing this every 2 weeks between now and probably the All-Star break. So, JJ, great story. Oh, is Andrew there? All right, Andrew, we're gonna end the sports jerks. We'll text later because I got to get this kid to bed anyway.
This is outrageous. I promise you, it's not the Pakistani army.
I mean, this is actually a really good way. This is a really good way to end it. I mean, technology is a real friend until it's a foe. But anyway,
it's actually me. It's my old bad AirPods.
Well, to be continued. But I think this is a good time to sign off. So we're gonna do that. Stick around for a second, guys, and everybody else. You know, watch Dynasty or don't watch Dynasty. We're going to rip it apart soon. That's all you got there.